beginning in verse 1 of chapter 19 of the book of 1 Kings, God's word says this: "And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. And Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as a life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there." And verse 4 says this: "But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die, and said, It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers." This evening, I want to preach on this simple thought: when the world is on top of you. I have a word of prayer, and you can be seated. Father, I would love you. I thank you again. I praise you for the dear folks you brought our way tonight. Lord, I pray you bless them, Father. Lord, I pray you get them home safely, Lord, as we have dismiss this evening. Lord, I pray you protect them on the road. I pray that you just be with them. I pray for those who got some have a distance to go, some head over to Missouri, some here in Illinois, whatever the case may be. Protect us, get us home safely. Be with those who couldn't make it because of the weather. I understand, completely understandable. Bless those who need to be in church but are not, just for one reason or another. And then I pray, Father, for those who are on the prayer list. Bless them, be with them. Be with the different needs and requests. I think of the upcoming surgeries. I pray you bless them, Lord. I pray be with the dear people. Father, there might be many hearts here that are heavy tonight. I don't really know, but you do. And I know for whatever reason you had me change from the Psalms to go to this message here this evening, Lord. So I pray to be a help to the dear people. We love you and thank you, Lord. Thank you for loving us. Also, we ask in your name, amen. God bless you, folks. You can be seated. All right. Speaking of when the world's on top of you, how can you tell when it's going to be a horrible day? Number one, you wake up face down on the pavement. Number two, you call suicide prevention and they put you on hold. Number three, your birthday cake collapses from the weight of all the candles. Number four, you turn on the news and they're showing emergency routes out of the city. Number five, your twin sister forgot your birthday. My favorite one. Number six, your boss tells you not to bother to take your coat off. Number seven, you wake up and your braces are locked together. Number eight, you call your answering service and they tell you it's none of your business. Number nine, your income tax check bounces. A lot of truth to that one. number 10, you put both contact lenses in the same eye. So how do you know you're having a bad day? Amen. Praise the Lord be a help to you this morning or this evening and try to be some encouragement to you, make you laugh a little bit. All right, 1 Kings chapter 19, look in the message here this evening. If you were to go back one chapter before or one previous chapter in chapter 18, you would see Elijah, in my opinion, had one of the best spiritual victories in his whole entire life. With God's help, he took on a king and hundreds of false prophets and saw God do an amazing miracle. I believe he was on top of the world. Who wouldn't be? When he rains down fire from heaven, and after he prays a short prayer, and of course he gets victory over those prophets of Baal, man, I'd be on top of the world. Praise God for what he's doing. And many of us have been there. No, sure, we might not have seen God rain down fire from heaven, but we've seen the victories. We've seen God answer prayers. You remember those times we're on top of the world? Man, wonderful times. And I believe this is where Elijah is in chapter 18. But here in chapter 19, you see how quickly the tables turn. Because in verses 1 to 4, it seems as though the floor has dropped out from underneath Elijah. Instead of him being on top of the world, it seems as though the world is now on top of him. Folks, listen, I believe this is a part of life. Unfortunately, we know life is not fair. We know that the Bible is very clear that many are the afflictions of the righteous. We also know that verse ends saying that the Lord will deliver him out of them all. But there are many afflictions we're going to deal with. So we know life is not fair, and that's a part of life, unfortunately. We're living in a sin-cursed world. And since this is a reality, just like having good times, we're also going to have those tough times. I believe they're going to come to all of us. And all of us can probably say, I've been there before when the world was on top of me. So tonight I want to give you a few things to help you. I will not be long. I certainly want to give you some food for thought, spiritual food for thought to help you tonight. But I'll be mindful of the weather out there as well, so kind of take a balance there. So let me give you a few simple things to help you when you're going through hard times, when you feel as though the world's on top of you. Number one, when you feel as though the world's on top of you, never forget, you are never alone. You are never alone. Go to 1 Kings chapter 18. Go back one chapter to verse 46. 1 Kings 18, verse 46. I love this point that God put in my heart. It's really helped me quite a bit, just reviewing it in my heart and preparing it. 1 Kings 18, verse 46. It says this, last verse of chapter 18. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah. I'll stop there. The hand of the Lord was on Elijah. Many of us, someone might have come up to you and said this, I believe God's hand's upon you. Or I believe God is using you. In my opinion, that's one of the most amazing compliments you can receive. Now, obviously, it has nothing to do with us. We understand that. Everything to do with God and in his infinite wisdom, desire to use us, we're sinful people. But praise God when it's God's hand's upon us. And God says at the end of verse 46, the hand of the Lord is on Elijah. And listen, in verse 46, nothing bad has happened yet. Okay? Chapter 19 hasn't come yet. Elijah has just finished seeing the amazing thing happen with God, taking that fire down from heaven and licking up that, destroying that sacrifice. And of course, it was soaking wet. We understand all that. And of course, Elijah sees that and God's hand's upon him. Now, if you would, go to 1 Kings 19, verse 5. And as he, that's Elijah, lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. Elijah is now right in the middle of the trial. And he's in the storm in his life. Again, we see, I understand it doesn't say God, but it says an angel. But God's the one that beckons and controls those angels. And right in the middle of that storm, that hand or a hand of the angel sent by God is still there with him. Listen, my point is this, friend. Just because some bad things happen doesn't mean God's hand's off of you. Don't forget that. And maybe you don't have that mentality, but some have the mentality, well, obviously God's against me because things are falling apart. That's not always the case. I'm not getting to what happened to Job, but he's a great example. And someone would say, well, I can understand verse 46 of chapter 18, preacher, because look, God has blessed the man. Praise God, his hand's all over me. Amen. But now in the middle of chapter 19, I can't really understand it. Look, it's almost like God has left. God's removed himself. You don't know what God is doing, my friend. Just because circumstances have changed does not mean God's hand is off you. And by the way, I can use a vice versa. Sometimes when good things happen, doesn't mean God's hand's on you either. I look at a lot of churches around the area that are not preaching the gospel. They're busting at the seams. Doesn't mean it's because they're getting blessed in terms of how they should be. And I can go into that whole story, the whole story. But the point I'm trying to make to you, my friend, in this case, I'm saying, hey, when God's hand's on you, just because bad things happen doesn't mean his hand has come off you. Don't forget that. If I can give you another verse to help you, go to Psalm chapter 34. Psalm 34, if you would. Psalm chapter 34. Look at verse 4, then verses 6 to 8. Psalm 34, verse 4, then verses 6 to 8, if you would. Again, when the world's on top of you, don't forget you're never alone. Psalm 34, verse 4, and verse 6 to 8. It says this in verse 4, I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. Now, I love the verse. The psalmist says, listen, I sought God, and number one, he heard me. Praise God. And that right there, that's half the battle. You know, God has heard your prayers. It's comforting. He doesn't say he delivered me from my problem. He delivered me from my fears. Sometimes a fear is more deadly than the problem itself. And God says, he delivered me from my fears. Look at verse 6 to 8. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him. Again, here, the Lord heard him again. And saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth, remember that word, encampeth, round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. In verse 7, the word encampeth, that means to abide, to dwell, or as if implying someone was staying and camping. I think if someone's camping in a tent, they're there to stay for quite a while. They're not going anywhere. They're there, if you will, for a long haul. In a nutshell, it means to be staying for a while or not leaving anytime soon. Those people who fear God, love and respect Him, will have an angel there and camping out, if you would, having God's hand of protection, whether you use an angel, whatever the case may be, or His peace with you to help you through the situation you're going through. My friend, listen to me. Those verses are encouragement. They are an amazing encouragement because verse 4 begins, the psalmist saying, God, I sought you. I need your help. And you heard me. And then it continues. I skip verse 5 for sake of time, but 6 to 8, you see how God helps, how God delivers. And of course, the angel Lord encamping, protecting nearby, being a help. So we understand, folks, listen, God is still on the throne, and as long as He is still on the throne, you will never be forgotten. Serve an amazing God, my friend. It's amazing how we try to, there's no way we can put God in a box, compare Him to our finite minds. We forget everything. I know, speak to myself, I forget everything. If I don't write it down, it's gone. I forget my kids' names half the time. I'm just kidding. Sometimes. But anyway, but the point I'm trying to make here is we understand that God, He is an omniscient God, all-knowing God. He is an omnipotent God, all-powerful God. And we have a God who knows all, has all powerful. And I promise you, my friend, you are not forgotten before your God. Don't forget that. Number two, when the world's on top of you, you can be sure that God will meet all of your needs because He knows how long the journey is. When the world's on top of you, you can be sure that God will meet your needs because He knows how long the journey is. Look at 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 5 to 7. 1 Kings 19, verses 5 to 7. It says this, and as he lay, Elijah lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. In verse 7, the angel says to Elijah, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. Elijah, listen, he had no idea that he was going on a journey, and he did not know how long it would be. It ended up being a 40-day journey. But friend, listen, God knows the journey before you even go on it. He knows how long the situation is going to last. He knows how long the trial is going to go. He knows how long the tough time is going to be. God is on the other side of that thing, my friend. God is very much aware. Listen, we really cannot grasp the concept, again, like I said earlier, that God is omnipresent, because we ourselves are not omnipresent. Neither can we grasp the concept that God is not bound by time, because we ourselves are bound by time. My friend, listen, God knows the future. He is everywhere. He is well aware of how long the trial is you're going through. Please don't forget that. You're not alone. He knows how long the journey is. The story is told of a boy who was going to go to summer camp for the first time. Never been there a day in his life. And of course, as most boys have, they usually have a mom who's there packing all their clothes, because all the moms know the boys could pack their own clothes. They'd probably pack M&Ms and Twinkies. No clothes. One set of clothing is good for the whole week. Praise God. Amen. Who cares if you stink? That's why I know, being a youth pastor, I know from experience. Amen. But anyway, so the story told of a boy who is going to summer camp for the first time, and he has not packed a thing. And mom, again, packs a week worth of clothes. She packs in a suitcase, a toiletry bag for her son, a sleeping bag, and a pillow, all packed for him. He never thought about packing most of those things. The reason why mom knew what that boy would need for that week that hadn't come yet was because she herself had been to camp when she was young, and she knew what to pack. The point I'm trying to make is simply this. God knows how long it's going to last, my friend. We have no idea. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, next week, next month, but God's very much aware. He knows how long the trial will last. I think of 1 Kings, if you look at 1 Kings 19, verse 8, it says this again, and he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. Elijah did everything in his power that he could do. He ate, he drank, he was responsible, but then he let God take care of the rest. He did what he was supposed to. He ate and he drank, but God took care of the rest. God made him that one meal. God made that one meal last the 40 days and 40 nights. Humanly speaking, we do everything we can in our power to do right. Make sure you're in your Bible. Make sure you have a prayer life. Make sure you're faithful to the Lord. Make sure you try to honor him and live right to the best of your ability. You're doing everything in your power. Then even outside, humanly speaking, provide for your family, do right by God, things of that nature. But the point I'm trying to make, we do everything in our power to do right and honor God and let God, trust God for the rest. There's no way Elijah could have made it 40 days. He would have died. We know that no one can make it 40 days in a meal. It's impossible, humanly speaking. But God did the impossible. Elijah did what he knew to do. And God took care of the rest. My friend, listen. Stay in that Bible. Listen to God. Do right. And then trust God for the rest. There are some of us in this room have some trials you're going through. I don't know. Maybe some of you have family who have physical issues. You might have some relatives are going through some difficult situation. Maybe you yourself are going through a difficult time. You maybe not put in the prayer list. It's just something in your heart. You know what's going on. You're going through a difficult situation. Listen, and you're doing everything you can to make it work, but in some situations, you just can't fix it. It's out of your control. Maybe a loved one has cancer. Maybe a friend has a situation going on. You can't fix it. Out of your control. So what do? Do everything in your power. Do right. Trust the Lord. Do right. Honor him. And let him take care of the rest. Just trust him. Just trust him, my friend, and he will take care of the rest. We first got in the ministry. Before I was in the ministry, we were in the computer world and things were a little different. We got in the ministry, and I praise God for the ministry. I never regret one day of it. I praise God for every day of my life being in the ministry. But I learned real fast that you didn't make millions of dollars. Wow, I didn't get a $1 million paycheck today, man. But and I'm not being critical. I realized that. And so we learned to do something called a cash system. And a cash on a budget where you put certain money aside. You had this much money for food, this much money for gas, this much money for leisure, whatever the case may be. And we did that cash system because we didn't want to handle debit cards. Figured we'd overdraw our account, kind of helped us be disciplined, if you would. And there were times the money got tight. There were times when you had enough, maybe you had, I don't know, say you had $400 a month, $100 a week for food. And you figure for some reason the first week you spend $200. Oh boy. We got three more weeks left, only $200 to go. How are we going to make it, right? And I'm sure you all been in situations like that. And in situations like that, the food gets tight, the food budget gets tight, and how am I going to make it? And you know what? Every month, you get through. Isn't that funny, amazing? Not funny. Isn't it amazing how that works? Every month, you get through. I remember times when we first were married, and Kelly and I were married, and we had Hallie, then Caleb, then Lindsay, then Jacob. There was something in the water. Then Seth came, you know, and of course, they eat all our food, and I'm realizing how fast that money's dwindling, the same amount of money, but it seemed less and less. And there were so many times Kelly would come to me and said, "Honey, I'm not sure I can get through the week." I said, "Fast and pray, sister." She didn't like that. But anyway, But she kind of threw a frying pan at me or a knife or something, tried to cut my head off anyway. But Mr. Spiritual over here, it didn't go too well. But anyway, but I remember, and there were days it was tight, and I remember thinking, "Don't worry, babe, we'll make it." And I remember thinking, "Oh God, we're not going to make it." You know, don't tell her that, walking out of the house type of thing. And some of you know what I'm talking about, right? And it was the most amazing thing. She would say, "I don't know how we're going to make it through." And she would cut the coupons for Aldi, everything else, you know. You know, Frank and Beans looked really, really mighty good three meals a day for a week. Praise the Lord, you know. Kind of teasing about that, but you understand what I'm saying. And yet, at the end of the month, we always made it. Maybe someone would bless us with some extra money. Maybe someone would have us over for supper. Or we go to some kind of meal. We have a bunch of leftovers to take home with us. Every single month, we made it. There was never a day when we went hungry. And yet, it started off looking so bleak, and God took care. Friend, listen, that's a mindset for the rest of our lives. Do everything you can do. Do right, honor him, and then trust him. Just trust him. I've heard it said this: work like it all depends on you and pray like it all depends on God. We know, obviously, it all depends on the Lord, obviously. Be faithful on your end and trust God to get you through. Number three, when it seems like the world's on top of you, understand there are others who are going through tough times too. There are others who are going through tough times too. If you would, look at 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 10 and verse 14. We're only those two verses. Okay, now if you would, we're going to do a little game, I guess. What we're going to do is we're going to look at those two verses, and I'm going to read each one. And I'm going to ask you, if you could, find the similarity between these two verses, if you would. But in verse 10, it says this, 1 Kings 19, verse 10. And he, Elijah, said, I have been very jealous of the Lord, God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, throw down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. Now look at verse 14. Find the similarity now in verse 14, between verse 10. Verse 14 says this. And he said, I have been very jealous, Lord of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. So if you find a similarity, if you will, between those two, at the end of that last phrase, and I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. Elijah was saying twice to God, pretty much saying, God, listen. He said, God, listen, I am doing everything I can. I'm honoring you. I'm trying to do right. I'm trying to live for you. But here I am. I'm the only one. Woe is me. I'm the only one out there. Obviously, everyone else has gone astray. Everyone else is wicked. Everyone else is backslidden. I'm the only one else living for you. Only one else doing right. There's no one else out there living for God, for living for you, Lord. It seems like I'm going through the worst of it. Pretty much what he's saying. Elijah was standing up for God, going against Ahab and Jezebel, and he figured he was the only one doing it. He was all alone trying to do right and going through the horrible trial. Look at verse 18, if you would. 1 Kings 19, verse 18. God says to him, Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. So God's saying, Elijah, hold on a second, buddy. I know you're going through a difficult time, but can I tell you, there are 7,000 other Christians out there who are living for God, living for me, just like you are. You're not alone, pal. You're not alone. Whatever trial you're going through, listen, someone else has gone through it. It's amazing how God works it out. Often we go through a trial, and you might just cross paths with someone who has just been through the trial or been through it earlier in life, and they can be a help to you. That happens more often than not. At least I see that in my own life anyway. That might be just why God puts us through trials, because he knows down the road someone else is going to go through a trial, and he will use you to be that comfort to them, help for them. You're not alone. You know, one thing I love about these prayer lists that we hand out, that's why I love doing Wednesday night prayer lists. I'll never change doing these prayer time. It's so important. One thing I love about these prayer lists, you might find out someone who is going through something that you have gone through yourself. It's amazing when you have that experience, a situation, you can be a bigger help to that person. You know what they're going through. You can be a blessing to them because you've been down that road before. And by the way, you can encourage them because you've gotten through it. And praise the Lord. God can use you to bless them to them. You can really be an encouragement to them because as God has taken care of you, he can easily take care of them. Let me just say in closing, I'm wrapping it up here this evening, that when you're alone, God is with you. He'll meet your needs. And I promise you, my friend, I promise you that there has been someone else who has walked this road of problems that you're walking in right now. Someone else has been down that road. You're not alone. Someone else has been there before, and God never left them, and he won't leave you. And he saw them through, and he'd do the same for you. Hallelujah. He can bless you like he blessed them. He's not a respecter of persons, my friend. He does not play favorites. We serve an amazing God. Let me close with this last verse, if I could, and we'll finish with this. Psalm 30, verse 5. I'll turn to it, and we'll finish with this. You want to turn there? You can. for his anger endureth for but a moment, and his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Friend, listen, tomorrow is another day. The sun is going to come up tomorrow. The sun will rise tomorrow. It's a brand new day. And I promise you, my friend, one of these days, the sun will rise and the problem be healed. Hey, well, Pastor, what about my friend who has terminal cancer? They're not going to get healed. Okay, let me say this, my friend. One of the, if they're saved, one of these days they will see the S-O-N and the problem will be healed. Praise the Lord for that. Just keep going, my friend. Don't give up. Don't quit. Elijah, at one moment, was on top of the world, and the next moment, the world was on top of him. That's going to happen. Sometimes it happens quicker than we think. Everything's going great, you're on top of the world, and all of a sudden, it just seems like the whole thing switches. God hasn't forgotten you, my friend. It's not greater than you can bear. With God's help, you can get through his grace, and someone else has gone through it. Just keep trusting him, if you would. Let me ask you all, bow your heads and close your eyes, if you would.